talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today. Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, November the 17th, 2023. Last Friday before Thanksgiving, the Big Turkey Day. Scott Spears here along with Pastor Craig and Matt Morgan. Do want to remind everybody that tonight we will be back, Sean, Matt, Carrington, and I, from 8 to 10 here on this station. And Pastor Craig will be on right after this program with Study His Word. Don't miss that for love nor money. Well, here we are, guys, the last Friday before the Big Turkey Day. I think we've solved the key in the door problem, and fruitcake toss coming up. We're going to light the Christmas tree down in Founders Park on the 25th. A lot of big stuff coming up here in the month of November and December. Christmas in Caledonia on the 9th.
I mean, I think there's been a lot of big stuff going on since, like, since the election. Actually,
you know,
since before that, since...
I'm glad you brought that up, because since we did the election, I have never honestly been approached by more people in life saying they enjoyed the election coverage. Even up till a couple days ago, somebody came up to me in the store and said, I just wanted to tell you I listened on election night and I really enjoyed myself. There was something about that night that really was favorable to people.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to be favorable to people.
Yeah.
So we're all happy that that happened, and I think it kicked off a good time for us because we were going into the holidays. And November and December are really times when a lot of people listen because it is the holiday season. We do a lot of fun stuff during those periods. And also the weather's not so great, so people are inside and want some kind of entertainment.
And, you know, all these things going on, and you haven't even mentioned our annual Christmas party,
which will be coming up. You know, we have not set the final date on that.
There's not many dates open anymore. I mean, there's so many other things going on.
I know. It's filling up fast. We're going to have to get it on the calendar because everything's filling up. But that is one of the most fun nights of the year. I like it better than the anniversary party because we all try to sing. It's, you know, right there before Christmas. Everybody has a good time. We invite people who are here now, people from the past, people who really just are guests on the station, come to that, and that is really a big fun party. And it'll be your first party, Matt.
Yeah, it will. It'll be good.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
That's another singing event.
Another singing event.
It's
That's
multiple
awesome.
Songs.
Oh yeah, we have a whole packet for that particular event. Now but everybody sings that night, so you won't be out on a limb that night.
Yeah, I mean that's better.
Yeah, you and this year we'll have a lot of people here when you think about it. I mean, I'm not sure who the outliers will be, but we'll definitely have Terry and Sean and Matt and Carrington and Pastor Craig and myself and Adam, you know, Adam doesn't really like Christmas, so we don't really know about that at this point. Maybe. Pastor Whitaker, hopefully this year we'll be able to make it. Who else do we have? Linda. How can I forget Linda?
Buckeye guy last year.
Buckeye. Mary Ellen was here last year. Nate was here last year. Yep. We'll make sure to invite him again. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fun night.
We may have to knock a wall out.
Well, you know, what I was thinking about was when we did election coverage, we did okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we come in this room to sing at the end, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. We all fit in one room wherever we've been before. I'm going to do the top 10 list first, and then we'll get to the current events. Because there's a lot to talk about coming up here in the next few weeks, and a lot to talk about that went on in the last week. So let's make sure we can get our drum roll working here. And we'll have a top 10 list tonight, too, by the way. So here is our drum roll. Let's look at our list this week from the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Top 10 fun facts about the first Thanksgiving. Top 10 fun facts about the first Thanksgiving. A very timely list here. Number 10, it occurred in 1621, 402 years ago.
Wow.
Now, did you know that 2 years ago was the 400th anniversary of Thanksgiving?
I did not know that. I was, I guess, too busy with COVID.
Yeah, we didn't celebrate the height of the Thanksgiving holiday 2 years ago, 400 years. Number nine, attendees were 50 pilgrims, 50 pilgrims and 90 Wampanoag Indians. Wampanoag.
I didn't know
Wampang.
That. Wampanoag
Indians. So more Indians than pilgrims.
Wampanoag.
Wampanoag.
Oh,
with an A?
Yeah.
With an A after the P?
A?
What?
Wampanoag.
There is an A after the P.
But there's a pan. Wampanoag. That's what I see.
Wampanoag.
Wampanoag. That Indian tribe was there the first year. Number eight, only 5 women were present. Well, who cleaned the dishes?
Yeah, and how many of them were Indians?
My goodness. Number seven, venison or deer meat was the main course, not turkey.
Well, which was it, venison or deer meat?
What says deer meat in parentheses here, you know? Number six, turkey was not on the menu. Why do we have turkey then?
Good question.
Hard to say. Number five, seafood and other wild birds were also served.
Okay.
Kind of a John Silver's type of Thanksgiving the first year. Now again, the category, top 10 fun facts about Thanksgiving. Number four, side dishes included cornbread and porridge.
Wow.
Ain't nothing wrong with some cornbread.
How about porridge?
Does anybody
make... I don't even know what porridge is.
Does anybody make porridge?
I've never heard anybody making porridge. No. Certainly now it's all sweet potatoes.
So what is porridge?
You know, I'm not really sure.
Well, you can get it hot or cold. You know, peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold.
That's about it. We did away with porridge somewhere along the line in our lives.
I think when they got Campbell's soup in a can, that's when we got rid of porridge.
We did, yeah. It made a green bean casserole.
There you go.
Number three, the pilgrims provided beer, a first for the Indians. Well, that's nice.
Nice.
They spread it around.
Yeah.
Okay, number two, there was no football game.
No football game.
No. Oh, no. Well, he woke up there. No football game at the first Thanksgiving. My gosh, 402 years ago.
So what, Las Vegas was giving odds on hatchet throwing or what?
You know, will we be able to give odds on the fruitcake toss now that sports gambling is legal in Ohio?
I think we should.
Yeah. I really think we should. I think it's a moneymaker. And the number one reason that, or the number one thing that happened, number one fun fact about the first Thanksgiving, it lasted 3 days until the beer ran out. So there you go. Today's top 10 list about the first Thanksgiving. Interesting facts, to say the least, about Thanksgiving number one. Don't you think, Matt?
I think so.
Yeah.
We thank Bob for that, and tonight we'll have another Thanksgiving-themed top 10 list. So get ready for that tonight on this station. You excited?
Always. Top 10 lists are always good.
I think they're good because they're very hard to write because you don't know until you present them what's going to come of them.
And the other thing, too, he does a good job working into most of the top 10 lists things that if you don't listen to the station, you won't get it.
You won't get it, which I like.
Yeah, I
so
do.
You've got to listen. Now, here's one thing I wanted to talk about. Now, there's all the House of Representatives did come to an agreement, so the budget will go on. But the government won't close on the 17th. But there has been, and honestly, I'm not even going to tell you who these people are because I don't know for the most part. But I, hold on, I think we're getting a phone call here. Ooh, let's get in here. Go ahead, caller.
Guess what I've been doing today, Scott?
What's that?
Trying to pick up chicks for you.
Oh, you were trying to pick up chicks for me?
Yeah, for your fruitcake toss.
Oh!
I got one.
Who'd you get?
Sheila Evans.
Now, who is Sheila Evans?
My coworker.
Oh, very, very nice.
And now I regret it because I heard your little wisecrack about chicks doing dishes.
Oh, no, I think... No.
Oh, massage.
Well, there will be no dishes at the fruitcake toss.
No,
you don't have to worry.
I think you misheard, Sarah. Do you think you might have misheard?
Well, you said something about chicks doing dishes.
No, what I said was that the women made very good dishes. Dishes, you know.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
That's
what I meant. I thought you said something about chicks doing dishes.
Oh, no. I would never do such a thing like that.
I thought I was going to have to come down there and regulate for a minute, but okay,
no.
I'm not mad at you.
No, so now we're up to 23 people in the fruitcake toss.
All right, well, I'm going to go clean my ears out and pick up some more chicks for you.
Keep looking. Bye-bye. Well, that's 23. I was going to ask, does Sheila look like a powerhouse?
I know. Should we be worried?
Well, you know, the thing about Carrington, I don't really know. She's kind of lanky. But I don't think she's got the power.
Maybe that's the pro strat, just tall and lanky.
You think it is?
I mean, if you use your like legs like a spring, you know, and get like a whole compression like throw in there.
Do you think there's any muscle under there? Remember, she said she goes to the gym.
I don't know. The one person you said, you mean for Carrington?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it.
No, don't really. Look like there's muscle going on there. Don't look like she's gonna put a hurting on anybody. But we'll find out tonight because she's gonna get a lot of information. Number one, she's gonna find out that there are 3,000 people at the Marianne tree lighting, which now she'll be singing at. Over 3,000 people. Capacity crowd, really. It's SOL if you don't get there early. And she's going to find out that her elf name has been changed to Fruity C. I'm sure she's going to really love that.
Well, she can go into rapping and not have to change her name.
I think it's a rap name, absolutely.
Yeah. Fruity C.
Fruity C. She can come up with a little rap.
I'm sure she got that.
The two of you can work on that tonight.
Yeah. I know.
You don't rap?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do not rap.
And then she's also going to find out that she gave me a shot, and it wasn't the most wonderful experience of my life, and I don't think I'm going to partake in that again, so we'll have to discuss that tonight, get her side of that story.
When did World War I start? like what year?
Lord.
I'm sorry, I must have fallen asleep.
Yeah, we're talking about World War I.
I didn't know we were talking about
one of Carrington's relatives in World War
I. So I just happened to glance back there, and I was looking at the fruitcake, and it says, the choice of millions since 1910. And is that not, like, in the middle of World War
I? No, that's before it started.
Yeah. No,
when did World War I start?
They were on the market for, like, 5-6 years before they caused World War I.
This fruitcake is actually from World War I. They tried to sell it every year since 1919, 1918, and just haven't got it done.
1917 started the war.
1910. Think about that.
I thought World War I ended in, like, 1914.
No, it ended...
like 1919, wasn't it?
Yeah, before 1920.
Yeah, it was Hardin came in 1919.
Oh, man. I'm all kinds of wrong.
God, this thing is...
Careful now. I don't want to eat that.
That's awful. Look at even how it looks.
I know.
It doesn't, like, honestly...
It's going to disappear.
It doesn't look all that bad.
Because every time I'm here, I just want to
cut
it.
You
got to
throw this thing. Now, after the 14th, you can take it.
It looks like banana bread with fruits and nuts.
No, it's not banana bread. don't make that mistake. It is not banana bread.
It's better than banana bread.
But in any event, the house... why this time did it work? Why did we not have to bang around and knock anything over to get the deal that was got?
Because he semi satisfied the Republicans, the you know, ultra conservative Republicans. He put together a plan that no, they weren't happy with, but it was certainly a lot better than the deal that McCarthy did.
And the Democrats were satisfied with it.
Yeah, they were satisfied with it.
So I think, you know, I don't know why that couldn't have happened a few months ago.
There were too many fires bubbling under the surface leading up to that previous one.
Well, here's my problem, and this is not necessarily about the budget itself, but there seems to be some discourse that I've never seen before in politics. Now, again, you might know some of these voices you're about to hear, but this is a little clip of some things. These are actual events that have been going on in Congress in the last few weeks. So hopefully you can hear this, and, well, let's kill the drum roll before we go to it. I'm glad I turned that up before we started. We got to get that drum roll killed. But these are some actual events that have happened in Congress over the last few weeks. So here you go.
I got elbowed in the back, and it kind of caught me off guard because it was a clean shot to the kidneys. And I turned back, and there was Kevin. He's a bully with $17 million in a security detail.
No, I did not elbow him. No, I would not elbow him. I would not hit him in the kidney. I guess our shoulders did, because Bridget runs up to me. I didn't know what he was talking about.
You look like a Smurf here, just going around and all this stuff. Now, listen.
Mr. Chairman, hold on. If we're not on time, we
spew disinformation.
Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution, every poet?
No, sit down. Sit down. Okay. You know, you're a United States.
You're a United States Senator, is what Bernie Sanders was saying there. The man was going to fight the leader of the Teamsters right there in the Senate, on the Senate floor.
What is
Teamsters? There's your government at work, folks. My Lord, what has happened?
I like it.
No, that's not how that is supposed to work. Well, what is going on?
I think some of this stuff has always gone on, but we're getting it now because, you know, there's so much coverage of what's going on, and there's all the social media. People can be, you know, that you're a senator or a representative, and you can show your argument with somebody to millions of viewers. And I don't think this is out of the ordinary, as far as maybe it's happening more often than it used to, but I think there's always been this kind of stuff going
on. Are people not thin-skinned here?
Oh, yeah.
Stand up?
Yeah.
Do you want to handle this now or later? What?
Yeah, yeah.
They're on the floor of the Senate. Yeah. This is not supposed to be happening.
You know, I got an elbow shot to the kidney. I mean, hey, we had a governor that told somebody, I'm going to kick your...
Right, and he didn't spare the word.
No, he didn't.
No, but he didn't do it at the Capitol either. I mean, I don't think he meant that to be put... Does this guy not know he has a microphone on him when he's challenging a witness?
I think sometimes the fact that they have a microphone on...
Almost empowered.
Thank you.
Oh, but gee whiz. That, I'm telling you, other countries are watching.
But
see, we're goofy.
It got him on the news.
I don't think in a good way. Like that Boebert woman got in the news for weeks, and I don't think that helped her any.
No, that was a bad choice of behavior.
Are people going to look at that guy and go, wow, he's my senator. I love that.
I think it'll probably be forgotten.
I just think that's embarrassing behavior, no matter what party you are or what job you have. Congress and the Senate need an HR office, because if you did that in any other job, they'd fire you.
Well, see, here's the other thing too. It's not really surprising when it comes out of the House, but anything like that, the Senate is supposed to be more reserved. They're supposed to be, you know, conduct themselves in a more professional manner. I mean, that's been the history of the U.S. Senate. They've always seen them as a, you know, higher whatever. And they've always, you know, they've had stricter rules than the House has. And, but, you know, some of that's deteriorated.
Well, yeah, and I think that's embarrassing for the United States, because we used to be able to disagree without threatening to beat people up or... elbow people in the kidneys, or why all of a sudden can we not disagree civilly? This is a job. You're being paid big bucks to do this job. This isn't out on the street.
Because all civility is gone in government and in really.
Well, but you could not do that at your job. That right there, if you threaten somebody, you could not do that at your job.
But you can do it everywhere else.
Right, but not at your. They're getting paid to do this. Act like morons. I just don't understand that. I cannot figure out why the United States Congress and the United States Senate have things that you can get away with that you can't get away with if you work at Burger King.
Because they can't get fired.
Right.
Only the voters can fire them.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. I used to think that was a bad thing. Or a good thing. I'm not sure. I think it's a bad thing now.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, you get somebody that is so... George Santos.
Oh.
Okay?
What can we say about him?
You know, I mean, the worst possible human being you could have in Congress, and yet he can't be fired. Now, he can be removed from the House, but the process makes it so hard.
I don't think he'll be removed, because he'll be losing the vote.
No, he won't, as a matter of fact. Now, he has come out and said he's not going to run for re-election. And that's probably only because he realizes he ain't going to get re-elected.
Well, I mean, what was all the stuff he did? I mean, just a few of the things. He was using federal funds for an OnlyFans account?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you list any personal expenses that you wouldn't want the public to know, and he was spending money on it.
Yeah, and yet, he will not be removed. He will continue to get a check. He will continue to be okay.
Yeah.
because the Republicans want that vote, and they're not going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So is the only reason that they don't have the ability to fire senators and things like that, is that kind of like a, they have it for, like, the Supreme Court, too.
Well, no, they're not totally protected. They could be removed.
But it's very difficult. And the reason being, for instance, with representative or senator or whatever, you were sent to that job by the people. So, you know, in theory, only the people that sent you should have the right to remove you. Now, they do have it, you know, they do have mechanisms that, you know, you can be removed by the House or you can be removed by the Senate, but you don't want to make it easy for you to be removed because that's basically canceling the will of the people.
Yeah, but remember the good old days when people had dignity and they just resigned?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have to go through a removal process. They knew they had done something goofball.
So what happened? It's like one person decided that they weren't going to resign, and then nothing happened to them, and now all of a sudden everybody was like, man, look at this.
People just didn't. Listen, George Santos, after the investigation, is still denying that any of it happened.
Look at Menendez. You know, I mean, he's denying anything happened, too.
And I think George Santos, by the way, is going to face criminal charges in New York, felony charges. So he can keep on denying. Yeah.
And so
he's going to be going to court.
So is Menendez. He's going to be facing felony charges, too, and yet he's still denying it. You know, I mean, it's just...
I don't know. I think if it got to the point where I was facing felony charges, I think... federal charges, I think I would also be denying it.
Well, you can deny it, but why are you staying in office? I think you'd want to devote your time to winning that case. If you're innocent.
I don't know how much of that is on you. I think your lawyer kind of does a lot. He builds like the argument.
That's why you stay. You need the money for the lawyer.
I'm going to shift gears, but it's related. Harbaugh. He's dropping his...
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows he's guilty, and he knows he's going to...
See, that was my thought, too.
He knows he's going to be found.
Because as soon as there had to be a trial and all, I think he thought to himself, man, it's going to be really hard to prove my innocence on something that I am guilty of.
Understand, the NCAA rules say that a head coach, regardless of whether he knows or doesn't know, is ultimately responsible for everybody under him, what they do. Even if he didn't have knowledge of it, he's responsible. So he knows that they've got the goods on that guy, and he can't avoid it.
There are two things about this I'd like to bring up. Number one, I don't think that's the reason, because I don't think he would have started the legal process if he really felt that he was guilty. Because what was the point? The legal process lasted 5 days for him. 4 days, really. Monday through Thursday. So I don't think that was it. What I think happened was he realized by the time he could get to the legal process, one game was already done. He only had two to go. They weren't going to have an answer by the time the next two games were over. So he's going to sit in a hotel room or wherever he's going to sit anyway. So I think he thought, instead of worrying and spending this money, what are they going to do? Give me those games back? They're not. You can't. Why don't I just drop this, get to the hotel room, do what I need to do, and then worry about making them look bad? Because, truthfully, if they do have the evidence on him, why don't they show it? This would have been a good time for them to show it.
See, they don't have to have any evidence on him.
Yes. What
the evidence is on the guy that was physically at the other schools, and you're not allowed to be there physically scouting.
Right, but do they have evidence that anybody on that team used it for game?
Doesn't matter. Because if you have a person on your coaching staff that is in violation of a rule, it doesn't matter whether you gain from it or not, and it doesn't matter whether he knew about it or not.
But what was this guy's position?
I don't know.
I don't think he was on the football team, was he?
I think he was just an assistant coach.
Yeah.
Assistant coach.
Yeah. I don't know what position. I'm pretty sure he was just an
assistant coach.
Coach,
yeah.
Well, if it never got to anybody, maybe he was just an overzealous assistant coach and wanted to be promoted.
Well, yeah. I don't think he's going to be getting that no time soon.
No.
He just got suspended for you know, possibly.
I don't know. I don't even understand the thing, as I've said before, because I don't understand, even if you know the other team's signs, if you're out on the field and it's 4th and 10, by the time they call the sign and you have somebody relaying the sign back to you, and then you have to relay it to your players for that play, there's not enough time to do that.
I mean, if you're understanding their signs and you've got them down, and so you've communicated, you know, alternative plays should you see certain signs, you can communicate that pretty fast.
Well, it would you'd have about a minute 30.
Yeah.
And who is over there looking at the signs? Because you got to have somebody watching the signs. Now, wouldn't that be pretty conspicuous?
Yeah. But see, you know, the way most schools do it, and because they can't police it, is when you study the films, you got somebody on your staff that is studying whatever signs they can watch. You know, you study the films to see the mistakes your players are making. You study the films to see what you're doing right. You study the other team to see their weak points, what they do in certain situations. But you've got somebody on your staff that is also studying the coaches when those shots are available and what signs they're calling and what plays are being played.
But it just seems like sour grapes to me, because they clearly are not doing it now, because they're being watched like a hawk and their coach is not there. And they got to Penn State last week, no problem. And my guess is they'll have no problem tomorrow. And my guess is they're going to beat Ohio State come week after Thanksgiving. I know.
So, I don't know, man. See, usually I'm in the school of thought that you can't root against Ohio State in the Michigan game, but I'm almost with Scott. Like, this year I almost got to root against Ohio State, because if Ohio State loses this year, then like, the last 2 years, you can't, it was stealing. No, you
didn't
lost.
Right. And that's what
they don't even have a coaching staff at this game.
Yeah, now they've really put themselves in a corner, I think, because
they
lose
this
game.
They have to win, or they're going to look real bad.
Because their team's going, we beat your rear end, and our coach wasn't even at the game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
What a mistake! What a mistake!
Exciting times in college football.
And they're sitting there whining. They're saying, "Oh, it was all the plays all these past years. They need to give us back our two games." Well, guess what? You better win. You better win coming up on the 25th.
Yeah, because sign stealing or not. You know, and you know, the thing of it is, too, I mean, okay, yeah, it's cheating, okay. But how much difference does it really make in the game?
None.
Probably not much at all.
Clearly not by the margins Michigan's winning by.
Right. If you have quality players who are performing at top level, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter.
It's like deflating those footballs.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have done it, but it probably would not have made any difference.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's the case here.
Yep.
No, I agree.
And I don't understand why this coach is taking the heat for all this.
Which
because
one?
They were cheating.
Yeah, but I don't know that he knew that they were.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He is ultimately responsible for what everybody does.
Pastor Craig is right.
Right, but if you do something, and I don't even know that you've done it, and I know nothing about it, how can I be in over that?
You see, but it's more like...
I have a hard time believing
it. It's your staff.
Yeah, it's your staff.
You should be more... Like, you should be more aware of what your staff is doing.
Yeah, but when there's a...
The dude in question, he was buying tickets to go to these football games to sit and watch.
Was he missing practices?
I mean, I'd assume so if you're going to a whole other college football
games. I mean, he's going to all these different games to watch these things. You know, his expenses are being paid run through a dummy company. I mean, I just can't believe that Harbaugh knew absolutely nothing about it. I'm sorry, but it was too much of a setup.
People say Paterno didn't know anything about it.
I'm with Pastor Craig. I don't know if he knows to the full extent of what was happening, but I don't. But I just don't think there's any way he didn't realize that nothing was happening.
Yeah.
He has to recognize something was going on.
Well, I think now he does, but I think if the plays never got to him, and this guy never talked to him, and
if the plays never got to him?
I mean, like, if the signs never got to him, and they actually were not using the sign stealing.
You know what? They could have maybe never got to Harbaugh, but then who were they getting to? Well, they were getting to the head defensive coach.
Right, but how can he know that? How can he oversee that? Listen, if you are hiding something that one of your coaches did, I understand that. Yes, yeah. You should be punished for that.
Hey,
you can't know what everybody does.
If your coaches are doing something like that and you don't know about it, then you're not a good head coach. You know what your coaches are
see,
doing.
Then we got to go back to Jim Jordan. And we got to say, listen, whether or not you participated, you had to know. And if you didn't know, you weren't good. So now we've got to do bad things to you. See, I don't know that that's true. If you are a high up coach at Ohio State, and your team is being abused over and over and over and over by a doctor that you knew, and you don't know anything about it, even if you didn't, you should have. So you're a horrible person.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Isn't that what we're saying here?
Well, no, because Jim Jordan wasn't the head coach, and have coaches under him.
So, yeah, when you're a head coach, you are in charge of your coaching staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, you are, like, a bit, like, somewhere down the line, it is, like, you are responsible for what they do. It's like when your mom gets mad at you for doing something in a grocery store because it makes her look bad because she didn't.
Yeah, but but she knows you're doing it. Now, she might not agree with you doing it, but she knows you're doing it.
You got an assistant coach that's going to these other games at these, which he is not allowed to do. So are you not aware that your coach is even going to those other games?
As he said.
How can you not be aware?
Well, why doesn't the group that's going after him explain that to us?
Yeah,
exactly. They've had 2 weeks, or at least a week and a day now.
Yeah.
Well, put your evidence out there. I think when you go after somebody, you should probably put the evidence out there. And they haven't. And I don't know why that is.
I don't know why either.
Maybe they don't have any. Don't you find it awful strange that they're still letting him coach the games? If they really had heavy evidence against him that this was going on and he knew...
Who are they letting coach games?
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh was suspended for 3 games.
Yeah, from the sidelines.
Yeah.
He's still coaching the games.
Yeah.
That's a weird suspension
right.
drop on somebody.
Yeah.
So why would you do that if you believed he was totally guilty?
I mean, the dude who was supposedly in charge of stealing the signs, he's not. He was suspended from the games. So if Harbaugh's not on the sideline, he can't. Maybe they assume that the signs can't be relayed to him.
See, that again makes no sense to me because
I'm not sure.
He's got a headset on where he is. He's still coaching the game. There's not discourse in Congress. There's no discourse in the Senate. There's no discourse on the football field. We just have no discourse in society anymore at all. Now, I don't know who to blame for that.
I don't know, but I do know one thing.
I think it's because we live in Ohio.
Here,
we beat Ohio State the last 2 years.
WGH, we're one big happy family.
Isn't that the truth, though? We don't fight.
No.
I was bringing that up the other night when Mary Ellen and Matt and I were all here. The question I get asked the most often about that show, because it's kind of a current event, disagree with other people's show, is do you get along? Because on the show, a lot of times, we don't get along. We do disagree. Yes, we get along. Why wouldn't we get along?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be good if we didn't get along.
No, I don't understand how you could do that every week and be in the same room with people if you really didn't get along with them. I think that would be very bad.
That would be bad, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would have gotten shot yesterday had we not gotten along, but, you know, those are the things you give for life, I guess. That's how I should have phrased it on social media. Carrington shot me yesterday. Then they'll think we really don't get along.
That's right.
I didn't care for it. I don't know. I just think the whole thing, Congress needs to settle down, the Senate needs to settle down, and the football players need to settle down and just play football.
Yeah.
I think the football players are just playing football. Oh, by the way, I mean, I could be wrong, but didn't Buckeye guy say that C.J. Stroud, I think, didn't he say that C.J. Stroud said that he was upset because he lost those games to OSU?
I think so. We're all upset. Go ahead, caller.
Which one of you really know what you're talking about?
Me.
Okay. I dated a girl in high school, and her grandson was invited from Michigan to come down to Ohio State, and he's affiliated with the coaching staff, per se, at Ohio State. I hope he didn't bring any signs with him down there.
There could be nothing but trouble if he did.
Yeah, the coach of Ohio State thought very much of him a few years ago. He's been down there, I think, a couple, 3 years. So I just thought I'd put a little bit in there. Hard telling.
No,
could be all a conference. This a conversation that just builds up the crowd.
Yeah, and I think we got to give him the benefit of the doubt until we know exactly what the evidence is.
Yeah. Yep. Well, most generally, you won't find out evidence or the truth or anything. That's just a small-time thing there. Nobody was hurt, killed, murdered, or abused. So it's just one of those gimmick things. Go Ohio State.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there we go.
And you're betting against, or you're rooting against?
No. I gave my prediction.
Oh, okay. That they're going to lose.
Rooting against. Okay. No, I just think that's what's going to happen because I think that Michigan is very, very good this year, and Ohio State has a propensity to either play really well in the first half and slack off in the second half, or they wait till the second half and they're in trouble to get going. And if they do either one of those things with Michigan, they will lose.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So there you go.
I mean, I can't argue with you at all.
Well, that's why I've always been an expert on college sports.
Oh, but what I was going to say is I'm pretty sure when I was reading about this, when the whole thing first came out about the sign stealing, C.J. Stroud said that he did not care that he lost to Michigan twice, and he's in the NFL now. There's nothing he can do about it, so he's just going to worry about the NFL now.
Well, why does it matter? Who cares when the game's over anyway?
That's right, because his ultimate goal was to get to the NFL anyway. So,
you know what? Frankly, on the 25th, I got bigger fish to fry this year.
I'm not surprised. I'm surprised there's not like...
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's not like riots in Columbus when we lose.
I got Fruity C and this elf that night, hours after that game, going to be in front of a tree of over 3,000 people. And
welcome to the stage, Foodie C and the Elf.
Well, no, that's right. That's where we are. What elf are you going to be? We never did get that answered.
Oh, man, I got to pick a name.
I thought we were about back on Vixen.
What about? Oh no, that's for the Rune Deer.
The Rune Deer. The Rune Deer. Go ahead, caller.
You guys didn't know what porridge was. You should ask Little Red Riding Hood and the Three Bears. You know, they get and the Bears. They had their own thing they done, you know. They passed it on to someone else. Have a good day, you guys. You'll have to be talking about this maybe Sunday morning at church.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Don't forget, we'll be on tonight, 8:15 to 10, and Pastor Craig, what's going on next hour?
We're going to talk about how to study your Bible.
There you go. And we've still got a few minutes left here. That's the news that you don't get on this show.
That's the news you don't get on this show. No, I ranted and raved for 20 minutes on the last show, so I'm going to tone it down.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. Matt can tell you. I was kind of...
I did hear that.
Yeah.
I was out in the hall. I heard that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You had a rant every so often.
Yeah, that's right.
Now... Your reindeer name. You got me saying it. Your elf name.
What if I just went with Claxton? Name myself after the fruitcake.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah, Fruity C and Claxton.
Fruity C and Claxton. God almighty. I'll never have a serious career after next Saturday. It'll be all over. Oh, Lord. Now, the other night, I do want to say this. When we did our dress rehearsal, you guys both put on the hats. Carrington, she got a little fussy about putting on the hat. Not because she didn't want to put on the hat because it was messing up her hair, and then she didn't want to take the hat off because it flattened her head. But you have a sweater or a sports coat holiday theme. I didn't see the one of you slipping those on.
I just didn't see a reason, I guess.
Well, we were on camera.
Yeah.
When you're an elf, you can't just wear the hat.
Why not?
Are you going to let her lipstick up your cheeks?
I guess.
Yeah, you got to look like an elf.
I'm too tall to be an elf.
No.
Yeah, I'm too tall to be an elf.
You're not a munchkin. You're an elf. Elves can be tall.
I don't think so.
Did you ever see The Lord of the Rings?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we've got Claxton and Fruity C singing. You know, even saying that night is just going to be... That's going to be traumatic, just saying that in front of 3,000 people.
Make sure they know which one is Fruity C and which one is Claxton.
Fruity C and Claxton. I like it. You know, that's gold. And Mary Ellen. I'm sure this will be the highlight of her career. And I'll be there. And also our friend from downtown, Andrea Mullins. So it's going to be a happening event. 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Be there or be square. Founders Park on the 25th.
It'll be good. I'm excited.
But the question is, are you going to wear the sweater? Are you going to wear... I don't care what pants you wear.
I'll probably wear the sports coat and give Carrington the sweater.
Okay. But you guys got to be into it. I mean, we're playing for over 3,000 people. That's more people than were at any concert at the Popcorn Festival. You're going to be Marion's most heard singing event this year.
Okay.
And you know what Carrington said? She's fearful that you're going to strand her out there and sing low, sing below her.
Maybe, you know.
No, you can't do that. Because once the song starts,
you're on.
You can't fix it.
Look, you just sing until everybody else starts singing, and then you stop singing. Because then after that point, they can carry themselves.
You got to keep it going, man.
Yeah, because you'll be in front of a mic.
Yeah.
A microphone. I didn't know there was going to be a mic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. That should be no problem for Fruity C and Claxton. the WGHL, because I don't know why that would be a problem. And Santa will be there.
I think you're supposed to wear, like, green leotards as a elf.
Any leotards?
No, I don't know.
Pointy shoes?
No pointy shoes either.
Big ears?
If I could find my hat, I have a hat that's like the dreaded elf hat, and it's got elf ears on it and everything.
Oh, there you go. You gotta get that. You gotta find that.
Yeah, that's how you dress up for the holidays.
Then the singing won't matter. If you're wearing that, then singing won't matter.
Well, I think, you know, honestly, you heard the show last week, Pastor Craig.
Yes.
Jingle Bells, I thought, came off okay. I thought they could pull that off.
Yeah.
And everybody knows Jingle Bells, so I feel the crowd will get in with that one.
Right.
And then we've got We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which I thought they did very well, and that's a good one to end on. So I think we'll be okay. You just got to sing out so you're on par with her.
So long as I know the song, I'm pretty sure I can do it.
Well, those are the two.
All right, well, I mean, I can do that.
Do you know those two?
For the most part.
You guys going to practice tonight? You going to do a dry run?
We do, because we know the songs now, so we don't got to go through every song again. So we'll probably do a dry run because we're only 8 days away tonight from this thing.
Exciting.
Are you excited?
Yeah, you know, I could be more excited, but yeah, I'm excited.
No, you'll be excited once we get there. I should mention Thanksgiving coming up Thursday. This is the last Friday show before Thanksgiving. Next week we'll be lighting the tree in here. What are you thankful for this year, Matt? We'll do this again tonight so people will get to hear. Find different things to be thankful for between the morning show and the evening show.
So I guess for this one, I'll be thankful for the time I'm gonna have to spend with my family on Thanksgiving.
See, that sounded like you're being forced to spend time with your family on Thanksgiving.
Well, you see, I'm not, like, it's not necessarily forced, but, like, I could, you know, like, I usually just try to not talk to as many people as possible that are there. I have nothing against them, just,
this,
like,
sounds rough.
There's just too many people. I like to hang out with, like, three people that I'm like, really, like, good friends with.
Well, are they going
to
be there?
Maybe.
Last hour, we spent the last 10 minutes of the show talking about your family traditions and that, mm-hmm. and it left me with a good feeling, but now I'm not feeling so good,
because you're
saying, like, I'm trying not to talk to as many people as I can, I don't want to talk to them. And,
like, I just don't like to get into big group conversations, so that's how I should have phrased it. As long as I don't get into, like, don't get dragged into, like, some big group conversation that has, like, everybody in it, I'll be okay. Like, I like to talk to, like, maybe two people at once. Like, a three-person conversation is good. Like this, good.
Like, all right. So, like, playing a card game, but everybody else is out of the picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Pastor Craig, what are you thankful for this year?
Oh, there's a lot of things I'm thankful for, but I guess probably the biggest thing is I'm thankful for the nice new home that I found in Prospect to live in.
Yeah, nice. Very, very nice. Living in Prospect near the Cecil Ayler Bridge.
Yes. Yeah, it's something I look at every time I drive on it.
Well, I love the Cecil Ayler Bridge, because Cecil Ayler I knew very well.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yes, because Cecil Ayler, when I started at WMRN 1,000 years ago, Cecil, because we obviously did not have people who went to Prospect and measured the river, Cecil would go down there in his retirement years, and he would hang off that bridge before it was the Cecil Ayler Bridge, and he would measure how far it had risen overnight, and he would call it in, this is Cecil from Prospect, and tonight today, overnight, it had raised this far. So that's why when they renamed that bridge, when they redid it, that's how it got the name, the Cecil Ayler Bridge.
Oh, that's great. I never knew that. I never knew that.
Now you'll be able to just tell all the people over in Prospect how much knowledge you have of. And Cecil was a great guy. I liked him. He had a unique voice. You knew when he was calling in what was going on. But, boy, he was there 5:30 every morning, and he'd been over dangling off that bridge already. Wow.
And, see, I've never lived in Marion County before. And so now I'm living in Marion County. So now I can feel like a Marion County person.
And Brenda Donegan, who worked at the Marion Star at that time, was very instrumental in getting Cecil Ayler's name, that bridge to be named. And at that time, he was not doing very well. It was toward the end of his life. So I'm glad he got that done. Go ahead, caller.
Carol's cousins lived in Prospect for years and years and years.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Wait a second. You didn't tell us what you were thankful for.
I was going to save that for tonight.
Oh.
I didn't want to pop it out here early.
Oh, okay.
Let people live in suspense all day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thankful for many, many things. I'm thankful. I'll give you one for this show. I'm thankful that I will never have to be given a shot by Carrington again. And then they gave me a Band-Aid that said Kroger Cares. I bet they do, as I bled all over the place.
They didn't give you one of those little Barney Band-Aids?
No. I got one that said Kroger Cares, letting me know. So there you go. That's what I'm thankful for today. And we'll do what we're thankful for tonight, 8:15 to 10. Study His Word coming up next for Matt and Pastor Craig. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Friends, teachers, sounds like you've lost interest in a lot of things lately. You're hanging with new friends?
So,
individually, maybe those things are no big deal. But taken together, and then the incident the other day, you were with Derek when he was caught selling marijuana.
Yeah, he was selling it.
Honey, we know. But we care about you and want to know what's going on.
That's right. We just want to understand better and see how we might help. And if weed is a part of it, we just want to make sure you understand the negative consequences for someone your age. The physical and mental health effects. The poor decision making. And the confusing legal aspects these days. So what do you say?